We are living in dangerous days. Dangerous because when you throw God out, you're in trouble. Here on the West Coast, at least, we're living in a godless society. I'm thinking of what's going on in the disastrous firestorms that are still in progress north of us here. Much of Northern California is up in flames. And hearing all of the reports on the news, no one crying out to God for help. I think twice I've heard people say we need to pray, but we no longer think that God exists, and we think we have a better way of doing things, and we think we're going to exist without Him and make our way, and it simply will not happen that way. Simply will not be. Everything today in our modern culture is secular. And even in the scientific world, we say there are matters of faith, which have to do with creation, and then there are matters of science, which is evolution. Of course, we all know that evolution has all the attributes of God, and He's just another God. So, which God are you going to serve? One has the name science put on him, and the other one has faith put over him, and what they do is they just kind of capture the argument by labeling things with labels that don't fit. Your life, what you do, the meaning of your life, what you're going through in your life, your struggles, your work, your marriage, your family, every part of your life and your work has divine significance according to God's Word. But if you take God out of the picture, none of it does. None of it does. Either you're working for God or you're working for a paycheck. And I hope you're working for God, and the result is, the fruit of that is you get a paycheck. Either God is God, and if God is God, this whole world is His, not part of it. Help me. If God is God, everything is His. Is that true? And whether or not man acknowledges divine ownership, God is still the owner of everything. God owns the air we breathe. He owns the houses in which we live. Some of us have title to them. Some have a rental agreement to them. But it matters not. God is the ultimate owner of everything. We are squatters. We are simply here claiming part of it is ours. And, of course, God has ordained that there should be such thing as property rights as long as we're living in this existence. But nevertheless, God is the ultimate owner of everything. He's the ultimate controller of everything. We talked about two aspects of our lives on the top of the front page. Our personal being, who and what we are. This is our personal identity in life. And then our work. Why do we exist? We get our identity largely from the work that we do. You ask a man, what are you? Well, I'm a carpenter. No, I'm an airline pilot. I'm a bookkeeper. I'm a nurse. I'm a housewife. I'm whatever the work is, that is what we use to identify ourselves. I'm a mechanic, I'm a whatever. Just go right down the line of all the professions. I'm an architect, I'm a lawyer, I'm secretary, but really we are men and women created in the image of God for divine purpose. And our identity comes from what God wants us doing in life. And if God wants us doing it, it's not a job. It's who we are doing the divine will of God in our lives. I look at years. I've been a pastor now for over 55 years, and I've watched God's people in the pews, and I've said to myself, it's pathetic if they don't get the divine purpose of their lives and their mission. And if they think the only person with divine purpose and mission in life is the guy that stands in the pulpit and sings in the choir. I mean, that's tragic. That is tragic. Every man and every woman is created in the likeness and image of God. Yes or no? Say everyone, not some of us, everyone. And that means we're all here by divine fiat, by divine creative decree. And our life derives its meaning from the God who made us and His purposes and His desires and His plans and purposes in our lives. So we went through the history of our being, the God creating man and woman in His own image. Very interesting that the word bara there is used. God made man ultimately from the dust of the ground. but God created man. So man is more than just a creature of the dust of the ground. He's the product of a direct creative act of God. Are you awake? A direct personal. You are the product of a direct personal creative act of God. Everybody here. Direct, divine, personal, creative act of God. Your body is composed of the elements of the ground, and your body will return to dust, but you will not return to dust. They can't bury you. When you die as a Christian, you go into the presence of the Lord. Life does not end there, because there's a part of you that is the image and likeness of God, and you can't kill God. You can't put God to death. His life will live. And so we are the people of God. We were created by a direct act of God in creation. So man was put on planet Earth to be a manager, like God, in God's image and God's likeness, hopefully with God's heart. Can we pretend for a moment here? Let's pretend for a moment. Let's see, that you are operating, what kind of a business? I got to invent a business. What's a good business to invent with which everybody could identify? Huh? Well, let's make it a little bigger than that. Let's make it a grocery store. You own a grocery store. You went into business. You manage a grocery store. Your grocery business is worth $1 million, and you've got somebody in there that you're paying big bucks to manage that grocery store for you, because you've got a chain of those grocery stores, and so you've got a manager in there, but the manager doesn't figure out that the owner is important. So he doesn't care what happens to the business. He only cares what happens to himself. Are you awake? What are you going to do with that manager? You are fired. Well, how many people, we are managing God's property, we're managing God's money, we are managing the life that God gives us. We are managers. We are not owners. We are created in the image and likeness of God so that we have an affinity for God, an ability to communicate with God and to know God and to enjoy God. And we're put here to manage His universe for His glory. So whatever we're doing in life, we're managers of that which belongs to God. Yes? So the question is, we don't own it. It's not ours. So then where do we get the directions? Where is the book of instructions? Where is the manual? Where is the ownership manual for this thing? Where do we find it? We find it in the Word of God. It's the Bible. And we are here as managers of that which belongs to God. And He's told us what He wants done, how He wants it done, and why we are here. So we are a manager, hopefully, with God's heart in our hearts to manage our lives, to do with our lives what God designed and ordered our lives to do. A huge enterprise, planet Earth and all of its inhabitants, sea life, flying creatures, cattle, all the earth itself, every living thing that moves. In chapter 1, we're put under man's dominion. A huge responsibility. Have dominion. Rule it over. Rule over it. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Bring it under the will and works of God. Rule over every living thing. A huge resource. The entire creation and planet Earth. You know, from a scientific standpoint, it's absolutely amazing what God has placed in planet Earth. All of the chemicals, all of the metals, all of the elements that man needs to produce a great civilization, hopefully for the glory of God. Now, when it came to Babel, it was anti-God, and God had to put an end to that. We can use divine resources for different purposes, if you please. And so there is a huge resource that God has given us. I keep watching the tallest building in San Francisco. They're putting the cap on it now. Down among the transit, on top of the, or right next to the transit center downtown, the new multi-billion-dollar transit center. And I keep watching them put that thing together, just think of all of the resources that they had to tap in order to build that building. Wow. All of the materials and the chemicals and just everything that they're putting in that building. But all the resources are here, and we're still discovering more resources that we can use for the benefit of mankind. Elon Musk is talking about building a rocket that goes to Mars. Well, God has put things here on planet Earth. He puts everything here that we need. Just an aside, it was amazing. I don't know who I was talking to. Oh, we were eating pineapple. And I said to myself, that pineapple grew in the same dirt that oranges grow in. You ever stop to think of that? The tomatoes you eat grows in the same dirt that produces pineapples and apples and grapes and lettuce and tomatoes and radishes. It is absolutely amazing. The resources God has put, and how those the capacity of the resources that we have in this world. Absolutely, absolutely amazing. So God gave us sufficient for all that we need for our existence and to rule, to have dominion, and to glorify God in our world. We have all of the resources that we need at our disposal. And the more you obey God, and get this, now culturally, what Western civilization is under enormous attack in the United States of America. Western civilization is based upon biblical Christianity and Judaism. And it's under attack. The more you honor God, the more you're able to use the resources on planet Earth. Our nation has been largely a Christian nation, and the impact has been materially the greatest nation in the world. This did not come from idolatry and paganism and from the hedonism of the day in which we're living. It came from people that had a fear of God. That's where it came. That's the origin of all of this stuff. So God put man on planet Earth with all of these resources that he might use. Now, we said, and notice the shaded point, we'll review this and then we will move on. The shaded part on at the bottom of page 2, in the yellow highlighting there. All the above assignments required great knowledge, wisdom, and energy and work. Nothing of a spiritual nature is mentioned. Now, we have Adam and Eve. And they are to have dominion over the whole earth, and Adam and Eve are put in the Garden of Eden, but nothing of a spiritual nature is mentioned. You've got one man and you've got one woman, and initially you had only one man, and then was added one woman, and so you've got only two people, so they can't go to church. They don't have a pastor. There's nothing spiritual to do. So their whole life is secular, right? Because God is only the God of the religious world, right? Or is God God of everything? Were they serving God in what they did? Were they cultivated the garden? Was that spiritual work? Was that spiritual endeavor? Or was it secular? Was it sacred or secular? Was his assignment sacred or was his assignment secular? But you got nothing religious talked about. So Adam was stuck in a secular world with nothing sacred, right? Help me. Help me. Help me. What was sacred about digging up the dirt and growing food? What was sacred about it? What was sacred about naming the animals? I mean, that's secular, right? I mean, doing secretary work is secular, right? Being a nurse is secular, right? Fixing cars, that's secular, right? Is this God's world or isn't it? See? Are you getting this? Am I coming through? You look very strangely at me. I mean, we got to figure this thing out as Christians. There is no division between secular and sacred in the Christian life. In the Christian's life, everything is sacred. Everything is sacred. Everything is sacred. Everything. Not something, everything. And so life takes on a totally different significance. This means that how I do my work is very, very important. This means my attitudes at work are very, very important. This means the quality of my work is very, very important, because I'm not working for man, I'm working for God. Was Adam serving creation or was he serving God? He was serving God. See? And in serving God, he served creation. Got that? He wasn't serving creation, he was serving God. But in order to serve God, he served creation. Okay? All right? Are the lights going on yet? Okay. So we need to have a biblical view of life, a biblical view of culture, a biblical view of what we do in our work world. It must be a biblical view that we have of this thing. So, look at the bottom of page number 2, the Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man. Notice, he took the man. There's only one man now. We don't have a woman yet. All right? Now, I want, look this way. I need some help. I run into trouble with the text, okay? In Genesis 1, it says, God created the male and female created he them. But I've only got one man here. Something's missing. Help me with that. Something's missing. You help me with that, okay? The Lord God took the man, he put him into the Garden of Eden to do what? To dress it and to keep it. The word dress means to cultivate it. So, the underlined portion on the bottom of the page, Adam is given an official residence and place from which to carry out his responsibilities, which is, namely, the Garden of Eden. And I believe the name Eden in the Hebrew text means delight. It was a delightful place to live. Look this way for just a moment. If you're living in the center of God's will, that should be a place of delight in which to live. I don't think God wants us living outside of His joy in our lives. The place of God's assignment in life for me is the most delightful place I can ever be. And I don't care where that is or what that means doing. When my dear wife passed away 5 years ago, I promised God there'd be a lot of things I have to do now because I have not a wife anymore. And I told God, look, I'm going to serve you with gladness. I'm going to wash my clothes with gladness. I'm going to clean the house with gladness. My life is going to be a delight because I'm going to do it all for you. I live in the Garden of Eden. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Being in the center of God's will and living for the glory of God is a place of delight. And God intends, you say, you don't know about my boss. Oh, I know God does. You don't know the conditions under which I work. You don't know the pressures. You don't know the sales goals. You don't know all of these things. No, but God does. And when we do everything for Him, it should be a place of delight in our lives. So this was an official residence. But notice the end of that sentence. But the whole earth is His domain. He was to rule the earth from this location, from this official residence in the Garden of Eden. Why is it called a garden? It's called a garden. It could have been called the Farm of Eden. The garden is a place you grow things. What do you grow in the garden? Things that you, give me the E word, things that you eat. Okay, now this is interesting too. God could have created this whole thing so Adam and Eve didn't have to lift a finger. They could have gone out in the afternoon and picked the wild berries. In the evening, they could have picked the fruit off the trees. They could have gone all their lives and never lifted a finger to work. But God wanted them to grow their food. Now, there were trees in the garden, I know that. But they were to work to grow their own food. That was a part of the original plan. This did not happen because of sin. That was God's original plan. Give me that terrible four-letter word that begins with W. Work. Work. I see somebody working, somebody assigned me a job. I said, that's almost like work. 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 Now, we'll find out later that the problem with work is that it has become onerous. Sin makes work onerous. Originally, work was not onerous like it is now. But the whole earth was his domain. Top of page 3, he was to cultivate it. Even before sin entered the picture, the creation was designed to require some kind of level of maintenance, and this means work. Growing the food he ate was part of his responsibility. That's interesting. You'd never dream that as you read through, but it was. Why did God say, you've got to cultivate this garden? The only reason you cultivate it is to grow plants. If you don't cultivate, then the plants grow themselves. It's like the lady, she was wiping off the table. I said, isn't this a self-cleaning table? No, there's no such thing as a self-cleaning table. There's no such thing as a self-mopping floor. And so God set it up originally, not because of sin. This was his intelligent design. Why was man given this muscular frame? You young guys, you go in the mirror and... I've got one left. It's about 3 fly power here. That's all that's left. It's all gone. But why did God give us this thing? To give me the W word. Work. To work with it. That was God's original design and original plan. And the lady's body is built as a part of that plan. So he was to cultivate. He was to grow food. I assume he planted food. Now the wonderful thing was he didn't have weeds when he started out. The thorns and the thistles weren't there, see. He had a weed-free garden. And boy, would the present progressives love it. It was totally green. There were no chemicals, nothing, no weeds. Everything was organic. Adam had a wonderful garden and no weeds in it. But he had to work. He had to dig and cultivate the soil. If you're a farmer, you know that if the soil gets too tight and hard, the plants don't grow well. You keep the soil loosened up somewhat around the area. It absorbs water better, and the plants grow and prosper more. So here is Adam cultivating. Now, notice he was to keep watch over the garden also. He was to take care of it and protect it. And this indicates the presence of an adversary or enemy. There was danger there, a possibility of something going wrong. You don't guard something unless there is some potential danger out there. It's interesting to me, you go up and down the streets of this city, give you a little lesson here. In any culture or civilization, either the righteous will live in fear of what the wicked will do, or the wicked will live in fear of what the righteous will do. And in our culture, the righteous live in fear of what the wicked will do. That's why people in San Francisco, almost without exception, have bars on their doors and windows. So there was a potential that something would go wrong. Keep your eyes open, be alert. Because somebody wants to invade this garden. Who was it that ultimately invaded the garden? Satan, the serpent. He showed up. So, just God's original assignment included being alert. Watch over. Guard this garden. Keep this garden. The weeds weren't the enemy. They weren't there at that particular time. So, that is at least growing among the food that he had planted. So he was to keep watch over this garden. And may I say, you need to keep watch over your garden, too. You need to keep watch over your garden. You need to be alert spiritually as an individual in your work life. Your work life is your spiritual life. It's your sacred life. You need to guard it because you can blow it up very quickly if you're not careful. Okay, so you keep watch over it. So notice the underlined section there on page 3. Work exists by virtue of God's design in creation and is a central focus of that design when it came to Adam and his place in the Garden of Eden. Do you get this? So your work, even though sin has made it onerous and hard and difficult in many ways, your work is a part of the original design. And the fact that God has designed work for you and designed you for a special kind of work. Now, there's certain kinds of work that I cannot do. I am not cut out for them, and I cannot do them. Other kinds of work I can do in an excellent way because I am different than others. You have gifts I don't have. I have gifts you don't have. So our assignments are different. But the fact that God wants us to work gives our work its meaning. It gives our work its meaning, regardless of what it is. It all needs to be done. If everybody in the United States went on strike today, tell me what would happen to our lives. The only way things carry on is by people fulfilling their responsibilities in work. Yes or no? You won't get home. You'll have no food. Nothing will happen. You and I depend on the work of millions of other people. Totally. And God has designed it that way. And so we are to do that section of work, that part of work, for which God has designed us as individuals, according to our talents and our gifts and abilities. So this gives work its meaning, and it gives work its importance. I've just never been more aware. I was back at the university, and I've just never become more aware of the fact that you meet with the president and the vice president. But I met a girl going down the elevator with three cans of trash. If it weren't for people like her, the place would fall apart. You say, my work isn't important. It isn't the title your work has. It's God's assignment that makes it important. And without it, regardless of what it is, this world is not going to go on. You think of a university with 3,000 presidents and no janitors. Did you hear that? 3,000 presidents and no janitors. And I have come to value, every time I go somewhere and buy something, I look at that clerk, she's poorly paid, I know she is. And if she didn't give her life to be there and help me, where would I be? Your work is important. And the fact that God has set this whole thing up and designed it this way gives significance and meaning to everything that you are doing, if legitimately you're doing it in the will of God. You can't rob banks to the glory of God. That's not one of His assignments. And you can't get people drunk. That's not a part of one of His assignments. But if what you're doing is according to something that God wants done, I don't care what it is, you have no business demeaning. Are you listening to me? You have no business demeaning what God has given you to do. If it's God's assignment, it has divine significance and importance. Yes? So, you'll note again the note. Work was not a consequence of sin, but a central focus in God's original plan for His creation. The above assignments were part of God's purpose for man. Man was specially designed and created by God to fulfill that purpose. None of the animals were qualified to do so. There is a huge difference between man and animal. Huge. Man is a special creation, having the image and likeness of God. So we go to Genesis 2:20 in the middle of the page. Let's move along here. Adam gave names to all the cattle, the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. Notice the New American Standard below that. It was not found a helper suitable. A helper suitable to him. This is one of the things that Adam did in fulfilling his responsibilities, establishing the identities for the many living beings around him. Something God could have done. Now, that's interesting, too. God didn't name the animals. He gave that to Adam. He said, you name the animals. And so, something God could have done, but instead He chose that man should do it. So, listen, if God did everything you want Him to do, there'd be nothing left for you to do. But He was not complete. Literally, there was not found. The idea is you're looking for something, but you can't find it. And among all of these animals, there was not a helper that was suitable to Him. None. I mean, there were horses. There were oxen. There were all kinds of beasts of burden. Animals that could have done things. But nobody like Him. None of these animals were like Him. None are compatible with Him as an individual. None that could communicate with Him. So, there was not found. They sought, could not find a helper. And the word means help or assistance. He needed help. How many of you have ever gotten in the middle of something and said, help! It means somebody needs to come along and assist you in something. Help me, help me, help me. Well, Adam was there, and he did not have the help or assistance that he felt, for which he felt a need. And then, the word meet means suitable. And it comes from that which is opposite, or which corresponds to him. And I want to say this. God is not stupid. And the progressives of our day have tried to make God out to be a sexist. And they make Bible-believing Christians out to be sexists. And that's a very pejorative term in the society in which we live. I want to tell you, God is not sexist. He's the creator. And He knew what He was doing. God knows His business better than man will ever discover. Notice there, Eve was not created to compete, but to complete. This competition between male and female, men and women, in our society today, in our social order, is wicked. The woman was not created to compete, but to complete. She was created because man needed someone that could do something that he could not do. And that tells me that man cannot do the things that women, everything that a woman can do, and a woman cannot do everything that a man can do. That's a part of God's created order. And how tragic that people are trying to do so today, in spite of all of the evidence to the contrary. So, Eve was created in order to assist as a helper, suitable, corresponding to Adam, and in order that his life might be complete, and in order that together they might accomplish the mandate that God had given Adam over the universe. Adam was given the fill the earth. How was he going to fill the earth? He was one man. You've got to have a man and a woman to do that. And God created distinctions. By the way, male and female are very graphic in the Hebrew text. The male is to pierce, and the female is to be pierced. That's the way that works. And people that can't figure that out, they need to forego their PhDs and go back to school. God made it this way. God made it this way. And by the way, this is not sexist. It's biblical. The relation between man and woman is sacred. Because God designed it. God set it up. There are some things a man can do that a woman does. Some things a woman can do that a man does. But everything a woman can do, a man can't do. And everything that a man can do, a woman can't do. We are not equal in being. We are equal in dignity. And in created importance. We are equal that way. So, we have here, and notice, let's go on down, see how much I can get done in 2 minutes here. We have the establishment of human relationships by a creative act of God. Look at that sentence, underline it, and don't forget it. Human relationships are not a product of social science. They are a product of the creative activity of God. May I repeat that? Human relationships are not a product of the social scientists. They are a product of the creative activity of God. We're not going to back off of that. We're just not going to do it. This means that there is special design and purpose in these relationships, and that they are intended to accomplish divine plan and purpose. Do not try to be who you are not. Just be who you are. Be content to be who you are. Don't want to be somebody else, whether male or female, doesn't matter. Be content with who you are. You are created by a divine act of God. You are who you are because God wants you to be who you are. And you need to take who you are, figure out who it is, and do as much damage in life as you can with it. And that's tongue in cheek. Secondly, notice, it means also that everything within these relationships is sacred. Everything. Whether it's the physical relationships of the husband and wife, whether it doesn't matter what it is, God made everything to be the way it is. Everything within these relationships should be devoted to divine purpose. Underline divine purpose. Why did God make it? Should be devoted to divine purpose. Now, at this particular point in time, when Eve was brought to Adam, everything without exception was God-centered. Everything in the creation was given to God's divine purpose at this particular point in time. Everything was subservient to God. Now, we'll start out the next message on page 4. The profound effect of sin on Adam's work assignment and his identity. Sin had a profound impact on his work assignment, his identity, his relationship with his wife. And everything was just... Look this way for just a moment. We can't go down this page today. But everything that sin touches, it destroys. Sin isn't bad because Baptists say it's bad. Sin isn't bad because the Bible says sin is bad. Sin is bad because it rearranges, disarranges, it disorders, it takes order and disorders it. It mangles and disfigures everything it touches. Sin is nothing to recommend it. Nothing. Nothing. What a world it was in which Adam and Eve were living, because it was God's world. Everything was functioning according to divine design, order, plan, purpose, delight. When sin came in, Eve got her PhD. Then Adam got his PhD, the knowledge of good and evil. They became wise, in disordering God's creation. Absolutely amazing. Listen, read your Bible, memorize your Bible, know what the plan is, know what the design is, know what the purpose is. And be a part of it. Embrace God. Embrace His ways. Embrace His design. Embrace His plan. Embrace His purposes. Make them yours today. And when life is lived according to divine plan and purpose, you should be living in the Garden of, which means delight. There is no delight where there is disorder. No delight where there's disorder. So we cultivate our garden, we work, but we guard it, we watch over it carefully. We understand that we are not the product of some kind of an evolutionary God or process. We are the product of a direct, creative act of God. We are individually the product Every one of us is individually the product of a direct creative act of God. We are who we are by divine decree. And God knows what He's doing. And we can trust Him. And we can believe Him. And we can do things His way, regardless of what's going on around us. I want you as a believer to have confidence in God and in His Word. We don't have to fuss and fight with everybody, but we stand firm. We are the people of God. We are on divine mission. In our work world, in our church world, everything in our world is sacred. Everything we touch for the glory of God. For the praise of God. And we seek in every decision we make in life to do the will of God. Let's stand together, shall we?